Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's Reality Gate. Let's love!
This was 90 minutes of straight people be crazy. That is the only thing I was thinking.
Straight people be crazy,
straight
y'all.
People be crazy. If there were any gay people involved, the whole conversation with Jamal and Veronica would never have happened.
Never have happened. And never
also,
have happened.
If there were gay people involved, everyone being confused about Caesar having two girlfriends, that would have never happened.
Happened.
This is straight people be crazy.
Straight
people have problems with. Gay people are fine with most of this shit.
We are. Sure. You want to bring two women back? Sure. You want to fucking not put a label on it? Sure.
He's not sure he wants to be exclusive? Sure.
Makes sense to Poodle.
I know. I've been dating someone for 3 years. We're still not exclusive. I think he thinks we are.
He doesn't even know your last name.
He's Rob Scruff in my phone still.
Rob Scruff. Wow.
Scrub is not his surname, by
the
way.
Don't think it is. Y'all, this is your Single Life tell-all, part 3 finale. And was it a finale in
Return
fucking
deed? Return of the lunacy. Wow.
Oh, you know what? I just want to say thank you, Matt Sharp. This is actually the tell-all. This is what we want in tell-alls. This
was a circus. I don't even know if I wanted this. It's what I got. I'm not mad at it.
No.
I feel like when they brought Jesse on, I went, okay, now we're just fucking with everybody.
I didn't. That's the only part of this tell-all that I could have fast-forwarded through and not had any of.
I still don't know why we brought in Jamal either.
Well, because they're dating.
Yeah. Not really.
Well, but... Again, yeah, that's true. They're not. They brought it in because we all went goon goon.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
y'all. Because normally at the end of this tell-all, we always say who's the winner of the tell-all. Y'all, we already know who's the winner of this tell-all because she getting that D,
and it's Veronica. She getting that D.
She getting that Jamal D.
If you guys are wondering, stop it. Now that does sound like fucking after a while.
It does.
That's actually appropriate for that. That's the only time you should use it now. If you're wondering, for some of you who are in San Diego and Veronica was at that show, and you're like, why is Veronica in San Diego? Because she was visiting Jamal and we knew it.
We knew it. Yeah. We don't
have
a lot of details.
It was hard.
It was hard. I have to say, y'all, she did tell us that they were dating then, and we've known since then.
Yeah.
But she doesn't let us know. We don't know a lot now. And also, she is very tight-lipped about stuff. So
yeah. She can't say anything about... She told us that it was going to happen, and mostly because she told him she might be bringing him to the show.
Yeah.
And we were losing our minds.
Actually, she said to the show, we thought as a friend, just because she was in town,
yeah.
And it was later that we found out. But we didn't say anything. We would never say anything. And we've asked for dick pics. We've received none. We've asked Poodle. I think you asked for a Venn diagram of what it was like to fuck him.
I asked for an artist rendering. I didn't really ask for a dick pic, like a place sketch artist.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Yeah. I even tried her daughter.
Yeah,
she said, don't talk to me. Chloe said, don't talk to me anymore.
Yeah. You were like, hey, you talk to your mom again. She sucked. Stop it. Stop it.
You're a man in his 40s contacting the young girl.
I just turned 16.
Creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, y'all, more power, but yeah. Woo, woo.
This was nuts. I can honestly say there was one big thing that got solved in this tell-all, but a lot of other things that, to me, they just made worse. It was one of the tell-alls where I feel like a lot of things were misunderstood. And
yeah.
Sean Robinson did zero in this tell-all to help.
True.
She made it worse.
I'm
sorry. We were nice to her at the beginning because we understood and we were trying to talk to her. She's becoming so just useless in these tell-alls.
Well, I think she wanted to be on our podcast. She messaged us and said, I want to be on your podcast. And then she either talked to Matt Sharp or she then listened to her podcast and went, oh, I don't want to be on this show.
No, we don't want to be associated with them.
Because we still think that Sean Robinson actually, which she's at her best when she's able to have authentic reactions. Like when she goes, oh, real? Come on.
Yeah,
when she says
I agree.
Stuff like that.
I agree.
We think that she gets neutered in this by producers. So I still don't put all the blame on her. But at this point, you do want Sean to be like, look, y'all.
Well,
I need to you want her to yell out in the middle of the thing. Straight people be crazy, y'all.
Here's the problem. We're going to put the blame on her because she is the living visual representation of the producers.
Well, that's true.
So she has to get it. So
you know what? This is the first time where, because I always say this, like, what do we need from a tell-all? We need to get more information. New information is revealed. We got a lot of that. And things get resolved. You're right.
One thing.
Nothing got resolved from this, really. Hardly at
one
all.
Thing. One thing happened at the end. Everything else was kind of made worse. That's what I'm saying.
But we got new information. Was it a balanced tell-all? No. And it was maybe my favorite tell-all in 90 Day Fiancé history.
I don't know if I'd say that.
I loved it. Maybe that one or the one we're watching now in Happily Ever After. For our, not for this season, y'all, but our class list where Anfisa and Pal start to get into a fight. That was pretty good.
I'm still saying the season 2, Happily Ever After, with Danielle and Muhammad.
That is a classic one.
It's just too good. It's so good.
This one has so many moments, though. Like you're talking about, that had one moment, which was amazing. And
no, everyone had one. Everyone had that was the Anfisa. You're a call girl.
I forgot about that. God, so much happened.
No, I still go back to that one. This was the problem with this one for me. Even though it was very very entertaining and it was a Lollapalooza, is we are delving into really tense interpersonal dynamics. And I don't know.
I think that's the nicest way to say childhood trauma of Colt and Debbie.
Yeah. I guess I think, why bring it up if we're going to really kick it to the side really quickly? And I know. Or and that maybe you say maybe they talked for a forever. But I think that's a question for editing then. Why bring it up? Why give us 8 minutes of this and then say, sadly, when Sean Ramos says, well, we wish you all the best. That really means like, I'm going to drop you off in the middle of an eight lane highway. Have fun getting back. It feels inauthentic, especially that's when true. It's something that's this rough. Let's get into it.
And that one guy did that to you in Columbus. So you know what that feels like with no pants on.
Yeah, I'm a survivor.
Just
I got
running
I got
around
through
like
it.
A gay frogger, y'all.
Yes.
You want to play Frogger now after that, don't you? I used to go over to my friend Joseph Hahn's house only because he had an Atari and I could play Frogger over there. That's the only reason I liked him.
We only had, boy, that's sad. You used him.
Well, yeah. He had a cool treehouse, too.
You don't regret using another child?
No, we were friendly enough.
Wow. All right. Let's dig in.
We're just starting. Colt's just fighting with Debbie, and they're just going. I mean, Veronica already's like, I want to smack him.
Pissed off Billy Goat and the troll he's angry at is Debbie.
It's, y'all, the things that are coming up from Colt, it's not even things of, and I understand what you're saying, Jake, that it's not even things of what happened in this tell-all a lot, especially in Colt and Debbie, but with other people too. We got a lot of things, not even from the 90-Day Fiancé past, but their past, the past of their life that had nothing to do with the actual plot lines. But Colt starts saying, you never taught me how to drive. And I went, whoa,
that's
we're bringing
when I went,
that up now.
That's when I went. We're really telling all.
we're really telling all.
It's not the season tell all. It's the life
we
tell all.
We find out Colt didn't go to high school or middle school. He was homeschooled by his mother. It's just years of anger coming out.
And he was going to take an internship in LA. He was offered an internship and he said no. And I'm not sure if this is because he said no or he said, I didn't want to leave my mother alone. Or something like that. But regardless, he in his head has blamed her for everything that went wrong in his life. Mm-hmm. Regardless if there's any merit to that or not. And that it sounds like he's in some type of counseling and he's at the very beginning of it.
That is exactly what
yeah,
I wrote.
A lot of just the initial anger of realizing
which, it. Which, you know, when you begin counseling, use our code to betterhelp.com/realitygaze. We love partnering with them. But, y'all, I advise that a lot. When you are first in therapy, especially the first time, if you are uncovering stuff about whether it's parents, guardians, exes, siblings, whatever, give your space, give yourself many, many months of processing before you even venture into talking to other people about this. And when you right. do, consult your therapist first.
Especially if you're confronting the person who you're really talking about and who you consider the source of all of this trauma.
Because I think if Colt had those conversations with his therapist, his therapist would probably tell him, I would if I was his therapist, I would ask, what is this going to, what kind of resolution, what will for you, will this give you if you actually try and talk to your mother?
What could she say that would make this helpful for you?
And we would probably tease out together that he would get no resolution from talking to his mother. And it's how, then the idea of how do we come to terms with making peace with someone who doesn't want to be peaceable?
And y'all, she does a true, a very mother poodle thing of,
fine, I guess it ruins your life.
Kitty, because Mom, can we kill it now, Mom? I think it's time.
It's open season, Pee-wee. Let's
All
go.
Right, let's go.
Hold him down, Tony.
Yeah.
what What's interesting though is that's what he would probably get from Debbie. It would take, I guarantee you, with someone like Debbie who is so shut down, who's probably had a lot of shit in her own life. Certainly.
It would take probably
years to get through to her of constant work from Colt's view and not losing his patience.
I'm going to say at this point, almost never. I'm just going to say and I say that from dealing with my father and him being 70 years old and me trying to just help as someone who actually has a fucking therapy degree, trying to get him to do some things that was unprocessed childhood trauma. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, because it's either too deep or it's too fear-based to let go of.
Or too painful. Too painful. Too painful. So, now, and it's, you know, Colt also then explains, he says like, well, my mom, Sean asks a great question when she says, what are you looking for with your relationship with your mom? And Colt says, she's more of my friend. She bought me my first Playboy and my first drink. Okay, I don't know. Drink, I get. I'm like, I've never like bought. I can't imagine buying like my child.
Well, she didn't want to talk to him about sex. So what better way?
Because that's kind of, yeah, that's true. Because that's what she is. And so, and Tiffany actually, you know, kind of says, well, do you feel like you're replacing your mom with your wife? And Colt's like, very not dismissively, but says, well, yeah, there's that too, but I'm mad at my mom. So he admits, like, it's just this weird.
Well, and then everyone kind of turns on him, and I understand why they are, but what you said this very correctly earlier is it seems like this is the first time he's confronted his mom in this way and bringing back stuff of and being so bold-faced of saying, like, you were never there for me. I never feel like I had a mother. And can you just imagine hearing that as a parent? It would devastate me.
I can't even imagine what our mothers would do if we said that to them.
I don't know either. I can't even imagine any scenario where I would try to hurt my mother like that.
My mother would never get over it.
I think mine wouldn't either. Yeah.
There's also this is all coming out. And at the same time, though, it's this, I think it's also what I look at, just to analyze it a little. I looked at this. This is definitely a plea from Colt. Now, I'm not saying he's a great person, y'all, but I'm saying it's a desperate plea that he wants someone to validate his pain. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he's doing it on this television show, because his mother has repeatedly denied him over and over and over.
Right.
And gaslit him. Y'all, let's be clear about this. I enjoyed watching her on Single Life. Debbie's a terrible person.
She's not a good mom.
She is not a good mom.
Not a good person either.
We haven't seen her season yet with the rest, but she is, I think, an emotionally abused. You know, she reminds me. She reminds me of the mother from Throw Mama from the Train.
But she was kind of funny.
She was kind of funny. It's like Debbie's but like that was her, a comedy. But not fun. That was a comedy. So I think that's
Shultry.
Yes. This is Colt's last, I think, maybe a last ditch effort to just someone see me and call my mother on her stuff and see my pain.
And the weirdest thing is it's going to backfire every time.
Every time.
Because Debbie's now one of theirs that they have to defend. And
that's true.
And so this was mistaken thinking.
And we have heard from Veronica that she said Debbie is one of the nicest people outside of the 90-day realm.
It's crazy.
It's very – so I think she talks to a lot of people. She probably feels like she mentors a lot of people. She puts on this side of herself that nobody else sees.
Yeah. She's very active on social media, as you heard her say the whole time. On social media, I saw you were broken up. I saw a video about it. So, y'all, it's probably just her and her cats – just watching social media, and maybe Tony's over there playing with his dragons.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is Colt not only came for Debbie, and he said this, and this then I think he was beyond helping here. He said, what do you think about Tony? And she's like, well, I basically think she went with whoever showed up at the door. I went, okay. I just kept gasping.
Whoa. I mean, what he is saying to her, is that appropriate? No, not at all.
He doesn't even know Tony.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, a lot of people on this tell reactions went in for Colt of how terrible he was to her. And I agree. And y'all, who created that?
Yeah.
Debbie did. Debbie helped create that. Well, they both haven't even processed. I bet you they haven't even talked about his dad's death.
Probably not.
They all but said that.
What's interesting, though, is on a show like this, and this is what happens when you give 10 minutes of airtime to something like this. You're only going to see this. What you're talking about is for people to process that so quickly, it's never going to happen.
And
it's going to be that Debbie is the one who's the martyr and Colt's the enemy.
Yeah.
They keep talking about, and Debbie says this, and it's really interesting. And I think she does this as a kind of a chicken move to Colt. And he says, well, maybe it's better off that he disconnects from me. And Colt basically says, I don't know. I don't want you to do that and blah, blah, blah. And then that's when Sean comes in with, sorry, we can't solve everything tonight. This is laughable. She needs to stop saying that phrase. Change it up because it's laughable now. Not when we've just talked about this scene. It's laughable. And that's why I'm saying she was just useless this tell all. That's why it became almost a symbol of what tell alls are for me.
Yeah, that's true. That's yep. true.
Then they leave. Like, Colt is leaving.
The reason why Colt says that, though, I just want to say Colt's jealous of Tony.
Yeah, totally.
He's totally jealous of his, yeah.
And y'all, this is, I don't know how long this went on, but the women are all crying. Like, I don't know how long this went on. Tiffany's crying. Like, everyone's hugging Debbie because she is sobbing. At this point. And then they had this weird moment. I don't know how long it took for them to talk to counselors or whatever. But backstage, which is where all the resolution seems to happen these days, not on camera.
Can I tell you, though, something that I caught, though, is when they are talking about when Vanessa says, I'm sorry, you know, and they're doing all that talk and Tim hugs Debbie, all that. Tiffany goes, this gave me some more empathy for Tiffany because it's something mm-hmm. we've never seen. Tiffany goes up to Colt and that's when she's crying. But did you hear what she said? She said, my mom is fucked up too, Colt. I get it.
Oh, I completely missed that.
No, that is what she said. And I went, oh my God. So here you are trying to raise this kid in a chaotic mom and you have no father and you did all. And then so it hit me. I went, you've had no role models of how to be a parent in the world at mm-hmm. all.
It's interesting. We haven't heard anything from her mom she's never said anything but lovely stuff about her mother on the show. Disagreeing with you, but it's interesting that we heard that from her.
So it shocked me. So that opened up, anyway, just made me go, I don't know, kind of see her in a different light.
They're talking about...
Yes, they're in the green room now.
And Debbie's like, I just want you to be happy.
Colt says, I don't blame you for the past, but he does. He does blame her for the past.
I want to talk about that phrase. I just want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, oh, how could you argue with it? But to me... It is, and I think I've had up this up a parent who's used it with me. And it is, to me, it is. There's no way you can come back from that.
Let me ask this.
It's a conversation ender.
My parents have used this But I think it's the different, the way you're, can I ask the intention your parents use? Because my parents have said to me, I want you to be happy. And they mean it in a genuine, they want me to be happy, whatever I do. It's, they
don't
have a judgment.
That's very different than the phrase, I want you to be happy. I just want you to be happy is very different. Mm-hmm. That means we've been fighting about something. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to be happy means it's fine. I don't want to fight about this. I just want this for you. Doesn't matter what I've just said before. Yeah.
That's what I knew, and, but I just wanted you to add clarity to that,
right.
Because and I didn't have that experience.
But that was what this was ending. Mm-hmm. So you've never had an argument when, like, you're having an argument or something like that about either what you're going to do or thing, and your parent uses, I just want you to be happy.
I actually, to both of my credit, they had the other things. My dad let things boil up, but neither of my parents are really passive aggressive at all. My yep. mom's sometimes a little bit, mainly my mom's just actually more just brutally blunt.
Yeah.
That's more my mother.
I think it was, this is what I'm talking about when you'll have those things, whether either it's something you're going to do or they have like a certain interest and you want to talk about it and just like, mm-hmm. I just want you to be happy. It is a passive aggressive thing.
Yeah.
That's, I guarantee you that it's widespread.
And I think that's how, I'm not discounting that. I agree with you. I'm just saying I did not have that type of parents in that way. I had other things. Let's not talk about it. But
I was just want to say, oh, that's even worse for me. I just want to say, when you hear that's trying to take away some of your power, and don't let it do it, because sometimes they're not meaning that. Just don't let that neutralize you.
It's power. It's also dismiss. It's a lot of things. It's taking away power. It's also dismissing his pain. And that really is what this is about more than anything, is Debbie refuses to see Colt's pain. And I know Debbie has pain too, but the problem is I know he's grown, but it doesn't matter. If you're 70 years old and you're the parent, it's your job to see your 40-year-old child's pain. If you've never let them, if you never saw their pain to begin with, then there's a part of Colt that feels like that 11-year-old boy who still is crying out to be validated.
Sadly, yes. And then, y'all, they just kind of say,
but we're not going to resolve this now.
Okay. And they hug. And I guess because they thought we needed that backstage. I don't know how long it got them to do that.
I don't know either. Tony's furious because he fought a little bit. He just needs to back out of it.
And the men had like 5 o'clock shadows already.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't know how long we had to be there for that.
Colt's beard grew even 2 inches longer.
And then Colt says, this is very interesting at the very end. He says, I never felt like there was a special parent for me, that no one saw me as someone special.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely... it's not that I think his therapist is doing a bad job. Maybe it's something he just, but it's, that was definitely something that was interesting for him to say that in a way. It felt like something he'd been coached to say.
It made me think that probably Debbie, I think Debbie probably partied a lot and wasn't around a lot for Colt's upbringing.
That's a good,
And I think he probably feels a lot of abandonment.
You know what it sounds like when that he's working with his therapist on like all types of young childhood stuff?
I guarantee you they're working on inner child stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the first time probably he's talking about, you know, probably when his dad died, he thought his mother would help, you know, step up or whatever. And he didn't.
His dad died when he was a teenager, though.
I mean, she didn't. I mean, like, but still, she thought that would, it seemed like that helped even put a wedge between them even more.
Yeah.
She probably was depressed. I bet she was probably drinking more. Like, yeah.
Let's talk about Natalie. So, y'all, they're just fucking with her at this point. I'm not mad at it.
Okay. This is a good question. Are they fucking with Natalie, or is Natalie just fucking with all of us?
Explain the second part.
In that, you know, Natalie is so, she becomes so frozen to make a decision. And in Sean Robinson's defense, Sean Robinson really did. She normally doesn't try to do this to people. She tried to pin Natalie to the wall and get her to make a choice of who she's going to pick, who she wants to be with. And Natalie completely refuses to do it. And I think Natalie refuses to do it because she, it seems so clear to me that this is not about love for her. This is about a green card. And her, she's not going to say that she wants a divorce from Mike because that means she would get kicked out of the country.
Ding, ding, ding. And she even said, I won't say this on camera. They kept tiptoeing to this. And I was shocked that they kept going so long.
I was too. I thought they would pass it over.
Either the producers forgot that this was an option, or Sean just kept pushing. And I was like, she's like, I'm not saying it on camera. And we all went, it's because you don't get a green card.
Yes.
And she doesn't have it yet.
Exactly.
It seems like she should have gotten some type of...
She should be getting it soon.
Yeah.
Because Natalie said at the beginning of this, I think I'm ready to face the mess I created. No, you're not. And did you notice? I just want to say this. The longer and longer that this tell-all goes on, the crazier and crazier Natalie's hair extensions
get. Did you see it by the end? It was like Carol Kane and Scrooged.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because at the first part one, it's true.
At the first one, it looked ridiculous, but we even both commented and said, oh, she looks kind of pretty. No, it just got so big.
I guarantee you this was a 14-hour day.
Oh,
I promise you. We have seen 3 hours of tell-all footage. There are 11 hours left. It's nuts.
The tell-all was leaked, the Zoom one, and someone, wasn't it like 10 hours or 11 hours?
Yeah.
We had sissies that watched it all. And I just want to say this. If you watch
Thank you for 10, your service.
I don't say thank you. If you watch 10 hours of a 90 Day Fiancé tell-all, that's a red flag.
I think you really just want to know something about the people, I guess. Oh. I don't know. Y'all, basically, they bring out Josh again.
Ooh,
they also bring out Mike, which we knew.
He lumbers out. How's everybody doing? Hey. Hey.
They shake hands. Mike never feels passionate about anything. Maybe he's passionate about donuts. I don't know.
He's passionate about that magic sauce.
Oh, gross. You don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about a jerk-off video of Mike's penis, where he calls it his magic sauce.
He says, do you want that magic sauce?
Bleh.
Imagine this. Imagine you're laying there on bed, and Mike's just on top of you, just pummeling you. And he's just saying, hey, are you ready for that magic sauce?
No, that'll never happen. That's disgusting. So... this is interesting. She keeps saying, why don't you want a divorce from Mike? And I feel like everyone in the audience, because we know enough about immigration, as yeomans, we know enough about immigration law now, is screaming, because she wants to stay here, Sean.
No, they're not going to say that because Natalie's going to be on season 4 of The Single Life, and I pray she is. I pray she is, y'all. This is her rhythm. This is her 90 day where she thrives.
This is her genre. Yeah,
it really is.
And she says, she's like, no, I will not divorce him because he will have to divorce me, but I will not divorce that man. And then we hear Scott. Sean says, Mike, do you want Natalie back? And he's like, I don't know.
Been asking for 3 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all, he is so noncommittal. Again, this man does not want Natalie back.
No.
He just wants to, what he wants is for, he loves that she needs him.
He wants she to fuck to, her again.
He does. But he needs to, she needs him. He loves that because that way he gets to play the good guy, the long-suffering good guy to give her money. And I think he did care about his mother, her mother, because she had no part in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and that's what he likes, is having her need him. That he's on social media all the time, like with other girls. Like, and he's a girlfriend now. So it's, of course, and they all, at one point she's, and that's when Sean's like, Natalie, who do you want to be with? Go to the man who you want to be with. And she's like a dog, like looking, this is when it was just pure fuckery. And then she went over and sat in his lap. Mike's.
And hugged it. And she dramatically cries. She sits on his lap and
Veronica's like, Josh, it might be a good time to break up with Natalie.
Josh is like, I feel like an option. Yeah, Veronica is like that. And Natalie says, he says the truth. I'm not ready for a relationship. And then she flips her hair and walks back and sits down and then looks down and looks up. Looks
she down does. And she, looks she, up, it's that kind of down frightened.
And then up, down and then up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Oh, and God, Debbie's I like, love her.
Debbie's like, Josh, it's time for you to get out of here.
And Josh is like, shut up, you crazy bitch. You know that's what he wants to say, but he won't.
Y'all, he's going to have PTSD from Gargoyle Debbie's voice. She went in on him hard, and it was funny. Let's be honest.
It was funny, but Josh even said to her, I'm not talking to you anymore. And he actually looked, I can't believe this.
He was scared of her.
Now, remember, y'all, they filmed this before the series ended.
Yeah.
Right?
No, so, they filmed this. They filmed this like week two or week three of the show airing.
Oh, but they'd already filmed everything by then.
Yeah, they already filmed everything. Yeah.
So I was shocked that after all that we saw, Josh still looked hurt. And he said to Sean, he said, I don't know. Did we just break up right now? And Josh says, this is the first time I'm hearing this. I have not known what's been going on with her.
You know as much as I do.
And Mike says, and I haven't been prying into a relationship. And Josh says, I haven't either. I'm not intrusive. And then y'all.
Not like this bitch over here.
Then out of the corner we hear.
3, 5, 0, 5.
And when we come back, y'all, it's time for what, Poodle?
Butter.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare.
They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies! Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
He's 3/4 over Natalie. Almost got him there.
I think I said this on one of the things. She walks in like Fred Flintstone's mother-in-law.
She did. She
leopard print. She might as well have a bone in her big heart. hair.
I thought she was a Pig Royalty cast member at this point. Long lost cousin about to show a pig.
Oh, yeah. Somehow the middle part has softened. It's almost like it wasn't as severe. And I think she teased it out a little more.
No, she didn't do anything. The makeup artist walked in and saw this woman and went, fuck, I've got to do something with this. That's what the hair person said. God, someone get this woman a makeover.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so bad.
She walks in, and we all knew she was going to be there. And Natalie's like, holy fuck. By this point, y'all, Natalie is apoplectic. That's the thing. This is just, we're going to fuck with Natalie so bad.
It was great. I love fucking with Natalie because Natalie fucks. Because honestly, I have to say, I don't feel bad because Natalie fucks with everyone else.
True. And she has created all this. I think I only feel bad when I see her almost stemming or something.
I don't, because I still think she's a borderline personality disorder. I have no sympathy.
I don't. It's funny, but I keep saying there's part of me that goes, okay, y'all, that's almost too much fucking around.
I don't know what it says about me.
I know what it says. He basically says, she's like, I don't know how you call yourself a wife. I read the wife book and I know you're not supposed to do that. And y'all, Butter just levels the stage like spitting fire, like literally, King Koopa.
Or like King Koopa, or like a giant. Literally, yes. She looks at Josh and says, you must be crazy because she's fucking whacked, Butter.
And she's like, it's all a game for you. And she's like, she scammed my son. She still thinks it's a scam.
Natalie's crying so much, her eyelash is just coming off at this point.
What I disagree with her is I don't think this was all a scam for Natalie. I think she believed she loved Mike. I think in her heart and in her head, she believed she loved Mike.
Was it a way for her to come to the U.S. as well?
Yes.
Yes. But I do think she thought Mike would be this big giant man that would give her this fairy tale.
Yep. Yep.
And then she realized she was living in a trailer in Skvin.
Mm-hmm. Trailer. Crib! I'm still convinced that crib.
You know what?
That crib was in that trailer.
That crib should have been in this tell-all. It should, if it was like in the corner and Sean said,
no, now Sean says, Natalie. It's like, bring out crib.
Crib. Oh, crib. No, crib. Crib.
I swear to God, that was a misfire. We should have brought back crib. That's how crazy this tell-all was, y'all. At one point, crib should have shown up.
Should have shown up.
All of a sudden, the corner just flashed the crib, and Natalie goes, crib. Reminding her that she's still not a mother.
Childless and barren woman.
She also mentions, it's fine, I will probably die alone. And yeah. I'm fine with it.
Don't fine with it. Look down, look up, look down, look up, look down, look up.
You know, you're dead on with that. That is exactly what she does. She's done it always. And she basically, and Mike even says, well, Natalie, what make you happy? What make you happy? And she's like, to provide for my mom and work. That's what she wants.
That's what she wants. And Sean's like, well, Josh, what do you think? And do you think she's still in love with Mike? And Josh says, yes, Mike's still in love with her. And Sean says, are you still going to continue? And Josh says, I need to think about it. And then out of the blue, the person who has no idea usually what's going on, Caesar says
this,
what?
I screamed. Well, it sounds like she just don't really be alone right now.
What? I'm sorry, what? Or, who says this?
Sounds like Natalie doesn't really want to be alone right now.
And then he even says, it's pretty clear.
Pretty clear that Natalie's not ready to move on. Gotcha. Yeah.
When Caesar gets it and you're not, you might be the problem.
No. Hi. Hey, it's me. I'm the problem. No. Y'all, Natalie has, yes, Natalie has trauma.
I love the show!
She has orchestrated everything that has come to pass in her life.
Yep.
It is, yes, I'm sure her previous husbands were horrible. She won't even talk about one of them.
She won't.
But has she manipulated and arranged everything to happen? Yes. She needs to own this. She will never. Unfortunately.
She will never.
Shall we move on to Caesar? God, this Natalie segment about broke me. When Butter came out, Butter did fist pump Josh at the end and say, "You need to, dude, get the hell out of here."
Yeah, she did say that.
I don't have a lot to say about this Caesar segment. I found most of his comments on the tell-all really kind of distanced. I feel like he didn't know what he was doing. He came with the idea that he thought he would be Mr. Big Man on campus, talking about having two women coming to the U.S.
I think he got the worst edit on this tell-all. I think he came out looking the worst. Yeah.
He came out looking like a dirt bag.
Yeah, I agree.
So it looks like there is Stella and Katrina refuse to be on the tell-all. I still think they're made up.
Possibly.
And what we've heard of what happened to Alona, we hear basically Natalie and Alona comes on and Natalie starts talking with her in Russian. And they're just speaking, she's like, "I'm so glad to meet you. I'm so sorry for what's happened. Glory to our heroes," and everything like that.
Glory to you.
And
you know what? I just had a tinfoil hattie about this.
Oh no!
Well, I think you're right. I think they're made up, and I actually think Caesar and Alona probably are still together, but they want us to not think that. So that way they can have in the next season of The Single Life, Caesar's going to go back to Ukraine to re-court Alona and try to develop their relationship.
I would love that.
That's why they're recreating it.
And let me tell you this now. Nothing's ever going to happen because Alona... If Alona really believes someone like Caesar is going to, I think she's just biding her time right now.
Well, no, this is, at least the way they portrayed it is, Caesar was just like, "You know what? You're dealing with a war. I'm not really that into this. You do you. I'm going to do me."
I'm going to get two other women to come over here. Now, and here's how you knew this is what y'all... So I wonder what he could be saying. "I just want Alona to be over here physically with me. I really need someone to be in the same place as me." He needs to fuck somebody.
Yeah.
Period. It's not that deep.
It's not that deep, y'all. Because that hole in that mattress is getting pretty grimy at this point. It's getting real gross, and that spring's starting to hurt a little bit.
That stuffed bear, the asshole is just blown out.
That poor teddy bear is going, "Not again, Caesar." Oh, no.
So, y'all, this idea is she even admits, after my country was at war, I was changed. I was paralyzed. I couldn't do anything. I could not leave. And so instead of melding their souls and waiting for their perfect time when she could come over or he could go visit her again and writing each other beautiful letters in English, which I'm sure would be hard for her.
Yeah.
He just invites two other girls.
Yeah.
And it's funny when they're talking and she's like, "I still like him. And he is so kind today. And then Sean says, "Would you want to have a relationship with Caesar?" And I was like, "Oh, come on." And then and she's like, "Today, yes." And Caesar says, "I still have very strong feelings for you." And then, "I always had Alona in my heart. But the," and I wrote down, "but the other girls were on my hard drive."
But yes, but the other girls were on my hard drive. Exactly.
They sent me a bunch of Spank Bank pics.
And so I just didn't want to be in the way. I wanted to give her space while she was fending for her life and her father's life in the war. This is when you support someone you think you're going to marry.
Yeah, I just, and it's so ridiculous to even talk about it in terms of that. But, and then Sean asked the next backup question. Well, are you going to say goodbye to Katrina and I can't remember her other name, Stella.
Stella.
And he goes, I'm considering it.
I'm considering it. Yeah, I think. Maybe.
Maybe Katrina and Stella are both holes in the mattress. Or one's the stuffed bear's asshole.
Yeah, Well, the mouth and the asshole, yeah.
Wow. But yeah, he keeps saying, we just need to get together and spend time together. Yeah, it all feels like you just need someone to fuck.
Yeah.
You need,
Fuck down. That's all
anyway,
I have for him.
Let's move on to Veronica.
Let's talk about Veronica. Okay. You can tell, what thoughts are you of bringing Jesse back? I really have no thoughts on this. I don't want to see him. I don't care about him. Why? There's no point of this.
I think he is ratings delight anytime, because he's such just not an obnoxious person, but like a noxious cloud of a person.
I mean, I know why they brought him back, but I guess I was asking more specific. Do you have anything of relevance that was said during his segment that mattered to this?
Absolutely not. It doesn't matter because Jesse was there and looking like a fucking Keith Raniere disciple from The Vow. And it was just...
Exactly. And also it made no sense because Jesse is only somewhat important to... So let's do the math here, y'all. Let's figure this out.
You mean the family
Jesse
tree?
Jesse was dating... Yeah. Jesse's dating Yennefer. Yennefer dated Tim.
Yes. Who dated Veronica.
None of these people in their prior seasons of 90 Day Fiancé, besides Tim, even met Veronica. Well, Yennefer met her, I guess, a FaceTime call.
I think what this was for
was a
rematch of their tell-all when of the first single. Not the, when was Jesse and Jennifer met?
No, because they did it.
What was that? Was it Single Life 2?
It was Single Life 2 because Tim was dating, I think, in Single Life 2, right?
No,
Jesse and Yennefer. So they had Tim and Veronica on. Which made no sense that much, but Tim did date Yennefer. But we thought it was dumb that Tim and Veronica were on for their segment. Yeah. So anyway.
And I wrote down, this is a circus.
It's a circus. They're there. It doesn't matter. Blah, blah,
and
blah.
He's like, she's like, yes, Jennifer is coming to Malaga, and then we are going to India. And
Debbie's like, I heard you broke up. She's not what I heard.
And Tim goes like, now you're on my show, motherfucker. And and he's like, that is ridiculous. We are not broken up. We are very much in love. And
I shot a video and you said you had a broken heart. I am fascinated by this. Call me.
What do you mean? I was meaning that we were not in the same room physically that you told me that we were. She was not next to me. He said, Jesse and I are not together anymore.
I have video from Yennefer right now. Look at her. Don't mind that she has no fucking eyebrows and looks like she's in the fifth goddamn element.
I screamed out and went, who is that? Who is that harpy screaming at me?
She looked terrible. Terrible.
Oh, God. Oh, stop shaving your eyebrows.
Think she dyed them. That became like a thing to dye your eyebrows. And y'all, it looks stupid.
Wait, but there was nothing there.
No, it looked. See, I couldn't tell if she had no eye, or she. There is a trend. Sometimes they're like dye them super white, like almost really light.
I think it looks crazy.
It looks crazy.
I think it looks terrible. Anyway, And Deb's like, I'm on social media, I show a video. And so everyone in the cast had seen him being having a broken heart. And Jesse, y'all just can't explain it. And Tiffany's like, these two just want attention. No, we are in love. And anyway, then I wrote down, hopefully we'll never see you again. And Sean's like, I guess we've done as much as we can.
I guess we've done as much as we can. And then y'all, we get to it.
Surprise, I'm dating someone new.
And
it's long distance.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And I was saying, y'all, they bring it out. He's got his rings on. He's got his fucking suit on.
And he's got that.
So good.
That big dick energy.
And he's just kind of walking around and he says something like, and Veronica says, I saw him on the tell-all and DM'd him and offered to take him out if he was ever in San Diego or something like that. Or I think if she ever went to San Diego or something like that, because she does travel for work.
I just want to say a miss of what they did not do is that we needed to have Kimberly come in on video.
I was shocked that in this three ring circus, mm-hmm. we had no Kimberly.
Whoa. Well, it's funny you said that because we swear it wasn't Veronica. We actually got a deleted, we'll play the audio for you of Kimberly. Okay. And you know, I'll let you, be Sean.
I'll introduce it. Okay.
Yeah. If you just can't
introduce it.
And,
stop. Oh, this is a surprise. We have somebody here who has a lot to say about this new romance from Veronica. That's right. It's Jamal's mom and Soja Boy's fiance, Kimberly.
Oh, excuse me, Sean. That is Kimberly. Kimberly Superfan.
Oh, pardon me.
And potential fiance.
What do you think about this new romance that your son is having? It seems like seems very new.
Romance with who? I thought I was here to talk about me. What? Who are we talking about?
No, with your Jamal? Son. Your son Jamal is here with what? Veronica. He's been seeing her.
Whoa! I did not expect this.
Oh, you didn't know?
I thought I was here to talk about my new Super Blossom Summer Splash. my new winter fragrance. It smells like summer, but sometimes you want to smell like winter. Super
in
Blossom
summer,
Winter
yeah.
Splash. You want to feel like winter and summer.
Super I Blossom love splash. Feeling Everybody like winter and summer, Kimberly.
Whoa. Jamal's dating an older woman?
It seems that way. I don't know if we call it, I don't know if they're boyfriend and girlfriend, but it looks.
But if you're going to respect me, I'm the mother. I'm in charge. Does she know who's in charge? Does she know I win? Does she know I win? I'm the mother.
I know that age has been a big deal in your segment. Yeah.
Yeah. She just needs to know I win. Yes.
Question. Do you approve of Veronica as a potential for your daughter, for your husband, for your sister, for your son, Jamal? Sorry, Sean Rosen has been drinking a little bit.
There's only one potential, and that's me. I'm the potential mom. I'm the mom potential.
Yeah.
The mom. Speaking of, hold on. I think some boy just ran away that I'm going to try to adopt. I got to go. I'm coming.
Well, we've done everything we can now for that tonight. So, I'm gonna start saying that if I'm dating someone and or if I'm like fucking somebody and they're taking too long, and we roll over and I'm like, well, I think that's all we're gonna cover. Be able to handle for tonight. I think we've talked about that as much as we can tonight. Wish you all the best. That's my new phrase to end everything. Anyway, y'all, thank you for doing that.
No, I enjoyed it. It was an inspired moment. Thank you for ending. Well, I did it because we can go into all the minutiae of what this back and forth, but I think you really covered the top of the end. this whole conversation about everybody feeling like they need to like be fucking Snow White and Prince Charming and dedicate their love for one another is so, this is the most.
They're hooking up.
Who
cares?
Stop putting your sexist ideas on a woman who is older, who can do whatever the fuck she wants with her vagina.
I think it's interesting. I agree that it's sexist.
And ageist.
It is ageist, even
they wouldn't say this if she was 25.
I think you're right. I think you're right there. I think what's strange about it is I was trying to reverse if it would have been, I think they would have been asking if it would have been a man talking to a woman and not Veronica. And I think they would have been asking him, when is she going to be your girlfriend? So I don't know. I don't know if it's only sexist in the idea of who they're asking. Because they were asking Jamal, why is she not your girlfriend? Like, it's the man's idea to decide.
Yes, yes, that's what I meant. Yes.
Oh, I thought you were meaning it's sexist they're only asking if it's a relationship with a woman.
It's offensive on all fronts. It's ageist towards her, and then sex, and that, yes, it's like, well, Veronica can't be the arbiter, can't be the decision maker of this. There's no way.
I do trust Tim's opinion more than all the other people's.
I do agree with that, because he knows her.
Yeah. And what's interesting, what Tim said about this, and I could kind of see a little daylight here, where Tim's like, trust me, y'all, it makes her crazy to hear about that he's with other people. And I think that's something that he does know firsthand. And it does seem like Veronica does have a little bit of a jealous streak that she would not want that.
It does. It does.
And especially not want to talk about it on television. But everyone else is just waiting, and Tim does get kind of pissed off, and it's definitely a little bit of territorial. He doesn't want another guy kind of being where kind of taking his place in that way.
I agree with Tim, but the way he says, when he says like she's playing nice because she doesn't have enough power yet to say, and I went,
it's not a that's a step too far.
And when he said, I can't believe you're lowering yourself to that, and I went,
that's not good either. No, it wasn't. It was, this all felt, I think Tim did not, all of Tim's reactions were very authentic.
I agree.
I don't think he knew a lot of this going in. And Jamal basically says, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Jamal says, you don't know me, dude. And you don't know my life or how I date or blah, blah, blah. Everything that Jamal said was super, you can understand yourself saying everyone saying this.
And where did this guy get therapy? Because he said to Tim, and he didn't say it in an emotional way. He just said, I don't like the words you use of devaluing her.
Yeah.
And he said, it feels like you're putting her down. And I'm like, this guy needs to be a fucking mediator.
After this tell all airs, and women see this, women and men, Jamal is the nation's premier panty dropper.
Oh, premier of 90 Day, yeah.
Holy fuck. He's top five for me, maybe top four.
Oh, I'm saying for me, I'm going to be honest, top two.
Wow. Who's your
other? There's only one person who's still my number one.
Who?
DeVar.
Really?
Oh, y'all. DeVar,
that went way back.
DeVar will fuck you all night.
I agree.
You'll just be laying there and you're just exhausted. And you'll say, I think we've covered everything. And he'll say, no, 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 I'm not done yet. And then
let's take a commercial. We'll go back to it.
Exactly.
It's funny. This is when I wrote Straight People Be Crazy, kept writing over and over again.
Gay people would never have had this conversation.
No, this was not enough. If someone said to me, they're like, oh, you're together with, I don't know, if Kenny's son was gay, and then him walked in and like, oh, you're together, and like, when are you going to go official? I'm like, girl, we just talking. We're just having a good time. I've like got four other cons going.
It does bother
Tim. I've got like 11 other guys.
11 other guys. But it does bother Tim, though, because when they take a break, Tim, the producer wants to talk to Tim, and Tim says, I need a minute. So for Tim to act like he's not taking this personally.
Yeah, no, he is.
He is taking it personally because Jamal is so not Tim. And yeah. I don't love
Debbie. Younger.
But I think, I don't think Tim wants to be with Veronica, but I do think Tim has a harder time of accepting that Veronica is going to find love without him, where I think Veronica doesn't give a fuck.
I agree.
About Tim's love life.
Yeah. I do agree with that. I do think, I think Veronica would be one to say, where is this going, Jamal? That's just,
I think eventually she would. Yeah. Eventually she would.
And so they basically, they're talking about Debbie.
Tiffany tells Jamal Tiffany even says, look, this is back in the break room. And Tiffany's like, I don't know anything about you. It feels like she's more invested. And Jamal's like, what do you mean? And Tiffany goes, well, you give kind of fuckboy vibes.
He kind of does. And I'm kind of into it. So I'll be honest, y'all. There's a reason fuckboys get us all. He does kind of give those vibes.
They're good with their words. So fuckboys are usually good with y'all. We saw F Boy Island, at least the first season I saw, and he was that one fuckboy was good with his words.
Garrett.
And I still stand by he should have won the money.
I agree. That fuckboy deserved that money.
I never saw season 2.
They changed the rules.
I'm going to watch season 2. And I heard it was great. They've canceled the show, so I want to watch it before they take it off.
God, we were so mad that they've been fucking around with the rules. I'm like, that fuckboy won fair and square.
He fuckboy won fair and square, y'all.
Because that girl was dumb.
That girl was dumb. You should have given him the money. Because you know why? Because sometimes in life, people fuck you over and take your money,
y'all.
Boys
win, sadly, sometimes.
Sometimes
they
win.
That's just life.
A lot of times they do.
Trust me.
Trust me.
They've won.
I've got the anal warts and the low bank account to prove it.
And the outline of a painting that one stole from you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's basically it. They're still going off about him, about when are you going to date Veronica. The last thing I have, I like to, Veronica does check on Jamal because she can tell he's upset that people would kind of question his values. And then, y'all, let's move on. Can we move on to Tania and Sinjin?
I think we can. Yeah.
So Tania's... Sinjin's posting about his girlfriend. It seems like they can be adult about their breakup. I think each of them is trying to out adult the other.
That is a great way to describe them.
Yeah. Each of them are trying to show how good they are.
Who's moved on more?
Yeah. And I think
that is 100% right.
Sinjin is winning at this point. And I think Sinjin will always win. It's interesting. Do I think Sinjin is a bad person? No. Do I think he's a thoughtless person who's more in it for himself and treats people badly? Yes.
Yes. But the reason why Sinjin is dealing with this better, Sinjin also, though, knows himself much better than Tania.
Boy, that is exactly right.
It's a very shallow self. Tania is a much deeper, complicated person. Sinjin is not, and he fucking knows it.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. I said this before. Tania has the what she projects outward, which is this cool girl. I want to experience the world. But inside, y'all, she is an insecure, fearful nerd.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want anyone to know that side of her.
She doesn't.
And it kind of breaks my heart because I wish if she stopped trying so hard to put out that view of herself that she wanted, I think she might find a little happiness. But until she reconciles those parts of herself, I don't know if she's going to. I think everything will feel not enough for her.
She needs to do a lot of imposter work.
Yeah. Well, she is one.
So, I know. Yeah, that's.
So they talk about the kind of their emotional. Remember, that was it. That was heavy last time. Both of them were crying their eyes out.
It was.
And
Sinjin also looks terrible.
He doesn't look good. I agree.
He doesn't look good.
He looks like he's drinking a lot.
Looks like he's drinking a lot. He looks bloated. His hair's too long.
It's also when people have really straight hair, like his is, and it's really long and there's nothing really done on the top, it makes them look, you wind up just looking like those strange people in Twilight. You know, the old vampires.
I don't remember that.
Oh, come on.
I didn't watch old vampires.
Like the blonde ones?
In Twilight. I can look on my computer.
Like the Michael Sheen character. Never mind. It's not like, why do I know these movies? You saw them with me. We were drunk.
Well, that's why we were drunk.
Oh,
I kind of remember that guy now.
Yeah. Anyway.
God, that movie was bad.
Did you hear him say, she's Jewish? And he said, she's unorthodox. I think she meant she's not orthodox, but unorthodox. Unorthodox.
Yeah.
She's an unorthodox Jew.
I don't know why I needed to say that, but he did.
And her name is Shayna, the girlfriend that he's with.
Yeah, he's dating her. And then Sinjin says, oh, it's such a dick thing to say. Sean says, how are you feeling seeing Tania? And he looks at her and he says, it's nice, you know? She's just another person. And I went, because y'all, even if you're married to someone, that person never wants to be just another person.
I think I could explain the way he meant it, but it still wouldn't help the sting.
Well, I know how he meant it. He meant it for himself. He meant it without thinking anything about it, like Sinjin does, thinking nothing about her fucking feelings.
Right, right.
You called it. You called it earlier when you said that's where he lives. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're basically, and she's like, and this is where I think he does call her out, though. And they're talking about van life, that she wanted to go around with the van life. And he said, she's like, but we didn't have any money. We didn't have any money. And the thing is, for Sinjin, he hears, but let's go to a van. Let's be a nomad. And what's interesting is, y'all, since they've broken up, Tania is weirdly trying to be that version of Sinjin that she loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's trying to be someone who's not, it's almost like she's taking his words and trying to be that person that she wanted her to be.
I think she was that person when he met her, because I think Tania is someone who morphs, because she doesn't know herself, she morphs into the people that she's around to be liked.
Yeah.
So she just met Sinjin. She will meet you where you are. And she met Sinjin where he was. But then when they got married, and I don't blame Tania for thinking this, she was like, okay, well, how are we going to buy food?
Yeah.
That's not where Sinjin is.
He would say, we'll get some money. It's fine. I'll tend
from where?
Yeah. And he's like, you can't, it's not good when you come home. So he would have been fine, y'all. He would have been fine. This is the thing about Sinjin. He would have been fine making almost zero money as long as he had money to drink. Because he's that. And Tania wants to have a family. And he called this out and said, you wanted the white picket fence with children. And that's a really shitty way to say you wanted a permanent life. And I never wanted that.
Yeah.
And I think she knew that.
That because Sinjin was crazy. When Sinjin says, but we had all the money in the world. And I went,
no,
do you remember when you lived in fucking, what's her name? Sissy She Shed.
But I'm saying when he says all the money in the world, that means enough.
In actuality, it's not enough for anything. Like you said, it's just a drink. It's not enough to actually.
No, I
have
totally
health insurance.
I totally agree.
No, both I know you see people, that. I'm just making that point for people. Yeah,
both these people were saying things that were truthful to each of them. No one, and they couldn't even
truthful
speak each other's language.
Truthful to each of them, but I do want to clarify, and I think Tania's was more truthful for the reality of the real world.
Speak to that more. What do you mean?
In that she's like, we need money to at least just... I actually don't... I do think she wanted kids. I don't think Tania wanted the whole picket fence and all of that.
No, no, no.
I think she wanted just a little bit of security so they could do the things they wanted to do, but to also, again, be able to pay for health insurance in case somebody fucking got sick.
I totally agree with you, but that is anything that is the least bit permanent is not what Sinjin wants.
I know, but also I do think Sinjin's life that he is living is not a realistic life in the United States. The way it's a life that is one paycheck away from, well, it's a lot of people live this, sadly, but it's one paycheck away from poverty. And you can tell that is a fear for Tania.
I 100% agree.
So that's where I mean, like, it's not a realistic view to her.
But it's not a fear for him. He'll find a way to get money. He'll sleep on the street if he needs to.
What I'm
saying is their values are so different. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why I blame her for some of it. I think you said this earlier. She morphs into whoever you're around. She morphed into someone with his values.
Well, again, they they met on vacation
in
South Africa.
Yeah.
So he met her when she wasn't even in her country with those responsibilities.
And y'all, you know? This is why you don't marry your bang trip bang.
You don't.
This is it.
Don't. Well, Melanie and Devar, they still are going strong.
They're one of the few.
Who else met on a bang trip?
Lauren and Alexi, but they
Lauren
met on Birthright.
So
it's not really a bang trip.
Well, everybody I know that's gone on Birthright, it's been a bang trip.
Yeah.
Lauren even said so on the show. It was a bang trip for her. So that's, I disagree with you.
But
that's a bang trip.
I don't think it's intended to be. Let's clarify.
I don't know what Jewish friends you're, but literally I can think of three and they're like, yeah, I went to go fuck Jewish guys. And they did.
I just want to clarify that's not the original intention of Birthright. So I don't want the Israeli government.
Oh, also
saying,
Antonio and Courtney, they met on a bang trip.
Yeah, that went really well. So I just want to say it's interesting. And Sinjin says, what did you think of this phrase? And she said, I'm still trying to get rid of the trauma I got from you. What does that mean to him?
I think the trauma, I can imagine because we didn't see it, but I think the trauma is Sinjin had a horrible upbringing and a really chaotic life, and he can't get into anything because he felt so imprisoned probably in a lot of his, I'm totally reaching here,
yeah,
but just what I'm seeing. And so I think it was traumatizing for him to be with Tania because the act of someone saying they want security and the white picket fence and all of that literally feels like a prison to Sinjin.
Yep, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I don't think that's fair, though, to put on Tania because I don't think that was her fault.
I think trauma was any time. I don't know if he had a terrible upbringing. It seemed very normal to me when they met, very middle class. Mm-hmm. What I think is he was never challenged to be around anyone emotionally that was to do anything that was hard. And I think this what trauma was her saying, you've made me feel. And I think he becomes a sensitive person and he crumbles really easily with under feelings. Mm-hmm. And I think
he can't feel feelings. Yeah.
I think it was bad feelings for a while. I think that he
doesn't process that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was with it. I think, the other thing they talk about the woman's circle and how, how Tania got something from it. And guess what, y'all? The divorce papers are here with a notary.
This, when she said this, I went. And so here's the deal. I don't even want to talk about the Debbie because it's like Debbie didn't realize we're on a fucking show and like we build. Debbie takes this totally personally. And I'm like, Debbie, you stupid idiot. Of course they're going to build up the entire episode that the divorce papers are here. And yeah. Debbie, I don't even want to go into that conversation because it was such just a moment of Debbie trying to steal screen time.
She also kind of felt, she's like, she's my friend.
What do you mean?
She's not your fucking friend. It's Debbie trying to take the attention off of her being a shitty fucking mother to Colt. Fuck you, Debbie.
I'm really glad though that Starfleet loaned us their notary for the day. And
space. The final frontier.
If you need any type of signatures or legal documents.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
Like the clothes on the notary and like the shaved head felt like she was like a ship's counselor.
It did.
I was dying at this notary.
I knew I was able to use the Star Trek theme a lot today.
We used it twice in one day. We were talking about Chantal earlier.
Yeah,
she was dressed as Lieutenant Uhura.
I forgot I wasn't even going to do it for this. Look at us.
I'm such a Trekkie.
Thank you for finally saying it. Thank you.
So
the notary comes out there and they're actually saying, and Debbie, the sensitivity of Debbie, while Tania is signing her divorce papers from her husband.
Debbie, you're a bitch. Get her, Mom. We can kill somebody on this stage. Get her.
And then Tim just goes, well, I'm kind of sad. I'm like romantic. It's like, let them go. They weren't matched at all.
And then she's like, anything you want to say? And Tania says, I love you and I always will. You're a great person. You have a good part. I want you to be so happy in life. And remember, you're not my soulmate.
Don't forget that, y'all. When he signed the divorce papers, first of all, there was applause, which was weird.
What do you do?
And then he did the most awkward cartwheel I've ever seen. Cartwheel, as he would say. Like in the past.
Kind of reminded me of like a fat guy in a little coat, but not funny.
Yeah, it's not a good cartwheel. Anyway... the last thing that I about this is
and, oh they're all laughing. However, Natalie completely goes in and she's down and up, looking down and up, down and up, and then she looks up and she looks at them and she's just full on crying and she says, "I'm sorry.
You were one of my favorites.
You were my favorite. I'm sorry."
This is the nuttiest the show got because now. I was just like, where are we? A little bit of post stuff. And I said, this just kind of became the Bad Girls Club all of a sudden. When Debbie is yelling and people are yelling.
Yeah, shut up, Debbie.
And I don't really have anything to say. Tiffany's talking about that guy, Dan. And I was like, please just be single. I'm begging
you. She's not. She's already posted them on Instagram. They're already in a swimming pool. Well, guess what? Guess what he is?
Comedian.
Stand-up comedian. That's what
he's called. He's a comedian. It's for clout. I'm fine with it. Just Tiffany, just be single.
I don't think she can be. I think she needs, hopefully this is a starter boyfriend that she just has for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if her mother is toxic as well, she's going to be just around that. So maybe that's not good. So maybe she just needs this.
But I want her to turn her attention to herself. I want her, instead of spending time with a starter boyfriend. That's what I want for her.
I just want Sinjin to stop saying the phrase van life.
Van life.
He said that so many. Every time he said van life in this, you were fucked up by the end of this episode.
I don't think I have anything else. Yeah.
Veronica said, because Jamal did, she said, you know, I've never dated anyone. And this is, I agree. I think this is what Tim was more bothered by, is she's never dated anyone that called Tim on their shit.
That's true.
And he did. So I think that's it. Sinjin, they cry, they leave. Natalie, as she walks out, her fucking hair is literally just about to lift off of her head.
It's nuts. And she said, well, the next step is, you know, to talk to Mike, and I don't know what to do if he decides to meet someone special.
I have to take responsibility, but I will not apply.
And then she walks out, she goes, drive, Tamara, drive!
Drive, Tamara, drive, let me go! Creep!
And then, yeah, they asked the crib. It's just
and then the crib's in her taxi, just sitting in the back.
God, y'all, I love this so much.
This
y'all,
was nutty. It was
nutty.
Just so crazy.
It was so crazy. Y'all, and y'all are about to get a good run of 90 Day Spinoffs because we just finished this. And guess what? Next week is 90 Day Caribbean Love, or Love in Paradise now, what they're calling it.
And this is season two running on TLC. We have already covered it on Discovery Plus on our Patreon, but now we're going to be running it on our free feed because it runs. That's how our process works. When it runs on TLC on the free feed, we put it
two nights. It's two episodes a night, so we're going to be dropping two episodes with it the day after. So, y'all. Again, I would say Single Life and Love in Paradise have been our favorite 90-day iterations of 2022.
I agree, 100%.
So be sure to check it. It's on Discovery Plus already if you want to watch it. So good. That's it. All right, everybody.
Lord.
Well,
what a season.
I guess we'll have to leave this here, Poodle, but we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes, and if you turn around in your living room tonight and you see
Kareem in the corner,
first of all, seek help, and then call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small details or big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.